we have entitled our new series of messages taken from Hebrews 11, Faith of Our Fathers. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the return of this Wednesday night of prayer. Lord, may Thy Spirit come and fill Thy people and bless us in our study of Thy Word. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The reformer John Calvin, he defined what is biblical faith when he said, "Faith is superior to human intelligence. It comes by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, faith as a singular gift of God in two respects, both as the mind is enlightened to understand the truth of God and as the heart is established in it. For the Holy Spirit not only originates faith, but increases it by degree till he conducts us by it all the way to the heavenly kingdom." Faith, indeed, is superior to human intellect, human intelligence. And here it is said that through faith, in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God tells us by his written word that the living word, Jesus Christ, the word, was he who made the worlds. And it is interesting that men sought to know God, to find God, through observation of the things that is around him. But it is only through God availing himself, revealing himself to us, that we may be able to understand the beginning and end of all things. And as we think about this matter of our faith, Dr. Carl McIntyre gave a very good background of this chapter of Hebrews 11. When he said, "The severe trials of the Christian in the first century led to the writing of that portion of the Bible called the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Affliction, reproaches, and imprisonment had come upon those who had named the despised name Jesus Christ. In rapid fulfillment of his words, 'They shall put you out of the synagogue.' These people had been hounded from their place of meeting and all their earthly goods spoiled." And he said further, to encourage and comfort such a people, the servant of Christ, the author of Hebrews, reminded them that it was but a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. But now, while they wait for his glorious return, they must live by faith. We are waiting for the day of consummation. You know, 2 days ago, we went to visit a man, and he's stricken with the last stage of colon cancer. And in his pain, having been administered morphine and having been told that there is no hope because the cancer has spread, what can you give to a dying man who has no hope and suffering great pain? Well, the hope that we gave to such a man is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, when you die, you will be saved from the judgment of hellfire and will be transported to heaven. Your soul, which is the immortal part of you, will go to heaven, but your body, which is the corruptible part of you, stricken with all this disease, will be consigned to the dust. But But the day will come when Jesus Christ will return again, and God will give to you a new body. He will recreate an incorruptible body for you. And we said to him that this is the hope of the Christian, that one day there will be a resurrection, and the soul with the new resurrected body will come together again. And so you have no loss if you believe in Jesus Christ. So if you think it's true, and isn't it a very logical thing for the Christian to receive God, because there's no loss for such a one. In fact, it is great hope that we would have, or we would be given again an incorruptible body in the days ahead. And so this is the encouragement of all of God's people who are facing any affliction, facing any trials in life. Well, God is going to make good your life, and that you have a glorious future ahead of you in Jesus Christ. So Dr. Carl McIntyre, he explained, he says, "The just shall live by faith." This is the inscription above the entrance to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. In three different places in the New Testament, these words are quoted from the prophet Habakkuk. In Romans, the emphasis is upon the word just. Those who, because of their faith, are declared by God to be just in his sight. In Galatians, the emphasis is upon the word faith. For there, the Apostle Paul points out in detail that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he further clarified. But in Hebrews, the emphasis, if it is placed anywhere, is upon the word live. Of course, all that Paul teaches in Romans and Galatians is contained in Hebrews 2. And so what is he saying here? Why the emphasis, the just shall live by faith? What is that living that he is speaking about? Well, he says this, others had lived by faith in circumstances just as stringent and acute, if not more. More so, their testimony should be of help to those who were tempted to fix their eyes upon earthly loss. Have you been walking with Christ, and have you suffered loss? Well, be comforted. Right? The Lord will make up for all the earthly losses that you have incurred. And the Lord will reward you triple, double, 100-fold for all that you have given up for him. Thus, Dr. Carl McIntyre says, we have brought to our minds real men and women in different circumstances and succeeding periods in the history of the race who did actually live and triumph through faith. And so the encouragement for us as we begin the study of Hebrews 11 is that we imbibe this living faith, meaning that we live out this faith as God would give to us in his word. How? By simple faith in taking hold of his word, in taking hold of the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we can find strength, we can find joy, we can find peace to live life. So when the man took hold of Jesus Christ, cling on to him, you can see that the Lord gives to him rest in his heart. The struggle that is in his mind, the struggle that is in his heart, well, was given away to the comfort, the strength that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to him through faith. And it's mysterious how one can be given such faith. His other friends, call him Big Brother. A Big Brother in the pagan understanding of, the ways to God. in his past, but now he has consecrated his life to the Lord. And that life needs to be lived out in a very practical way, in daily living. The definition given of faith is short, but the living illustrations of faith are the cloud of witnesses. Abstract definition, he says, has its place, and most assuredly so here. But the living embodiment of that definition is powerful beyond dispute. If you would be a living witness of God, to live that life of faith, well, as a witness for God, that is the best argument, right, concerning what that faith is all about. Right? That is a change, and you are willing to stake all in your life for this faith. That is what Jesus wanted when he said, "Ye shall be my witnesses." Dr. Carl McIntyre speaks as one that is dead and yet speaketh. And in his time, he wrote, he says, "Today, men need faith." Well, we said today, even more, men need faith. Unbelief, indifference, and apostasy have come in like a flood and threatened to sweep all before them. And men of faith, like gold coins, have been taken out of circulation. Isn't it true? Right, in the 1920s, gold was returned. In the U.S., gold was returned back to the government, and paper money became the legal tender for a time, and then after a certain time, 1972, 1973, that gold cannot be exchanged. That dollar paper note cannot be exchanged for the gold anymore. Well, we said that the faith of men, like this precious gold coins, have been taken out of circulation. So when it's taken out of circulation, what it means is that men can just live the way they want. Right, print money the way they want. Don't need to work, and just print, and then, you know, they can have their living. And that is what happened to this world for the last 40 years. And a day of reckoning is coming. And the world must come back to reality, come back to faith. And here, right, he said, faith is seldom defined, defensed, or illustrated in the pulpit. It has gone with the wind. And the precious privileges for which our fathers fought for centuries are surrendered in an hour with no resistance. Well, we said that by him began the Bible Presbyterian Church movement in 1937. And the faith that is passed on to us today, right, the Lord wants us to continue to live by that faith of our fathers. The first man that was mentioned here in our chronology of men of faith, the elders who were given a good report, is the man Abel. And Dr. Carl McIntyre, again he said, speaking of Abel, "It seems rather strange that the first witness called whose testimony should comfort those who were suffering for the faith is one because of his faith was murdered. What comfort is there in that? It was first degree murder. He was the first person ever to die for Christ. The argument which separated the two is the same which divides the home today. The issue involved here are those which precipitated the modern religious controversy. Abel is murdered because he committed the awful offense of just believing God. jealousy, hate, temper, murder flow in rapid succession from the sinful heart of Cain as he rises against his brother. Abel represents the children of light, Cain the children of darkness. The controversy centers around Abel's testimony. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, the Bible says, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness, that he was righteous. That's the first thought that we have. How was Abel righteous? Abel, by faith, brought a blood sacrifice to God according to the stipulations of his parents. Genesis 3:21 says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. You remember? They defy the word of God and they partook of the fruit coming from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in which God said that if they partake and they took of it, they will surely die. And what happened when they partook of it? Well, the Bible says their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked. They were ashamed. Sin had entered the human race when men disobeyed God. Disobedience was that which precipitated his fall. And Adam and Eve must have told Cain and Abel, what happened? God said, don't eat. But what did we do? Well, we disobeyed and we ate. And therefore, what happened? Well, God said we will die. And that was before the time when Adam and Eve died. Well, what did they tell Cain and Abel? Well, we believe that he told Cain and Abel that God provided Genesis 3:21, coats of skin to clothe them, to take away the shame, to take away the nakedness. By faith, Abel was pronounced righteous because he gave a blood sacrifice that was pleasing to God. That was God. What God did, he enacted a blood sacrifice to give to Adam and Eve that would cover their shame. And it's interesting that the Chinese character for righteousness, right, is the word the lamb that is over me. By the blood sacrifice, by the sacrifice of the animal in the field, the unblemished lamb, by the shedding of the blood, will come the atonement. And Adam and Eve must have rehearsed it to Cain and Abel. And how is it that Cain would give a sacrifice of his own concoction, one that he thought will bring him acceptance with God? He was wrong. The Bible tells us who Cain was. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And he, being a farmer, he came with what he thought would be a sacrifice that God would accept. He, as a farmer, well, perhaps you say, take pride in his produce. Take pride in what he had done, right, to produce whatever crop that came. And he thought that this would be worthy to give to God. But the Lord did not accept his sacrifice. because it was a sacrifice out of his own imagination, out of his own concoction, well, the Lord did not receive it, the Bible tells us. And Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, Genesis 4 verse 4 says, and to his offerings. And verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. There are those who say to us, why must we receive Jesus Christ for salvation? Why must he be the only way? Why can't I offer something that I believe can help? Well, all who go through that channel of thinking would be, for all posterity, the posterity of Cain, one who offer his own concoction of what would be acceptable to God. And so you see here how Abel sacrifice that points to Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross at Calvary was accepted by God. But what happened when Cain's sacrifice was not accepted? Verse 5, second part of Genesis chapter 4 says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shouldest thou not be acceptable? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. How is it that the first covenant home set up by Adam and Eve was devastated when one sibling killed the other? Cain killed Abel. It must have grieved the hearts of the parents to see such carnage in the home. The Bible says Cain was very wroth, very angry. What happened? If you perform an open heart surgery to examine the heart of Cain, right, like what the Apostle Paul says, he concludes, is what he called the works of the flesh. It's not accepted by God. And you will notice in the heart of Cain, hatred, contention, wrath, a boiling anger, envy, and finally murder. And the Bible tells us that of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, I have explained to you before, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is no possibility for one who does not have his sins forgiven and repented of through Jesus Christ will be accepted in heaven. And so this is the faith that Abel had. He was the first to be highlighted, right? The first to lose his life because of his faith, because he believed simply what God said and offered a fitting sacrifice to God. How can we offer a right sacrifice to God? Well, by coming to the foot of the cross and repent of our sins, and then to receive Jesus Christ into our heart, that the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us may wash us clean of all our sins and make us to partake of the heavenly things Now, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God said that you will surely die. Adam and Eve has not died. Death has not come upon mankind yet. But when men went against God, then death came, right? The first murder. It is said that when men do not take hold of God through Jesus Christ by faith, they cannot find the wherewithal to life. But if you have received Jesus Christ and come to Him by simple faith, that's the beginning of life for us. So may the Lord be gracious and merciful to help us to continue and persevere, to cling on to Jesus Christ for our life, because He is, as the book of Hebrews tells us, He is the creator and He is the sustainer, and He is the only Savior. May God be merciful to help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing to us that faith in God is indeed glorious, precious, but it comes at a price, at a sacrifice, at a cost. But Lord, You have shown us how it is worth it all when we see Christ. So Lord, may Thou be gracious to strengthen Thy people with the faith to keep living for Jesus, to keep giving out the gospel, to keep showing forth the fragrance of Christ in our lives. Lord, may Thou sanctify Thy people with Thy truth. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.